Let's see if this works.
Yo, Keys, can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you. You're clear.
All right, cool. You're clear, too. All right. Ladies and gents, welcome to MV Podcast. And before we get started, I just want to say thanks to everybody that's been really supporting the show from season one all the way to season eight. And by the time you guys hear this, this is actually the last episode for season eight. This will be season eight, episode 21. And this is actually the second time I will have this artist on the show. I was a fan of his freestyle improv clips throughout the years during the pandemic. He has some deep Oxnard connects on the music side of things. And one of his dopest albums that I was a fan of was Keys to the City with Kazi. And that's how I really got a chance to build with him. And since the last conversation, I think he's stepping into this next phase of his artistry. And I see him, you know, stepping more in the role of screenplay writing, a little bit of directing, and a little bit of acting. And I think his next concept album is interesting. The name is Westside. He got a joint out with Kaiser on the beats. It's called This Is Love. Got some new joints out with Dom Brady, A.M. Saravo. So we're going to chop it up with him and just have him explain the concept of his new album, man, and where he's taking it. So, ladies and gents, without no further ado, we got Mr. C-Doc Keys in the house. What? Yo, can you hear me? Yo.
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Now I can hear you, Keys. Good.
Oh, you know what it is? I figured it out. I have to keep hitting my... keep the light on, because anytime my phone dims out, I guess it cuts out the sound on your end, but I can still hear you.
Okay,
just gonna have to keep tapping it. But yeah, man, shout out to you. I just want to say, man, I appreciate the support you give, an opportunity for artists such as myself to come on and talk a little bit about, you know, their artistry. And I wanted to start off with that before we even, you know, dived into anything I was doing. So salute to you for that.
Thank you, man. Since we last spoke, we were talking about your work with Kazi. I know you got this new album coming out called Westside. What inspired you to title it Westside?
You know what? That's a great question. I'm a hip hop head. And again, shout out to Kazi. As you mentioned, Keys to Kazi is out right now. Y'all can check it out on all digital streaming platforms. Shout out to Dom Brady. Definitely a dope producer. Wanted to give a shout out to him. Shout out to Anne Marie. You know what I'm saying? I want to give a shout out as well. Over the last year and a half, we've put together some wonderful things, and I'm looking forward to, you know, adding some visuals sometime in the future to that as well. But yeah, Westside was really just me wanting to get in touch with the West Coast roots again. When I first started MCing back in 1993, I want to say, or it could have been 91, I was introduced to West Coast music, deep slump music. RBL Posse, Spice One, SIBO, America's Most Wanted, Street Thugs. You know, list goes on and on, man. DJ Quick, you know, just real MC8. And I just feel like the industry is lost sight, especially the West Coast, of that sound, because that sound was our signature. So, you know, I figured, why not come up with something that's, you know, out of the norm of what I do. A lot of credit has to go to Kaiser on the beat. Coincidentally, he's from Massachusetts, but he's making beats that sound like they're from the West. Yeah. And I'm from the West, but people say I rhyme like I'm from the East. So it was pretty dope for us to kind of play this trading places type of thing on this project. And in the process of putting the, you know, West Side together, I got to thinking of the contributions that people have assisted me with in getting to the point I am now. And you know, that's where the West Side just birthed. And a lot of people, they were kind of curious to hear how this would sound, because, you know, it's been decades since they heard me on this level as far as, you know, writing music. But with the assistance of Emo, the assistance to Kaiser on the beat, put out this storyline West Side.
Nice. How many joints we got on this?
So we got 18 joints on this project. It's actually a musical movie. It's sort of like Wizard of Oz, but the deal is to make a movie. And throughout the videos, each video is going to transition into another storyline. So pretty much it's a musical, and the album is the soundtrack to the musical.
I love it, man. I love it. So let's talk about how many videos have you shot so far for the album?
So far, we got 8 out of 18 done.
Wow.
Very dope experience. Shout out to everybody who supported. Shout out to B Smooth. Shout out to my homegirl, Nikki. Definitely shout out to Tanisha. Shout out to Shelia. Definitely shout out to Emo, Kaiser on the beat, and Miss Prissy, a.k.a. Sneak. All these people, you know, stepped up to the plate and were down to be a part of the videos we were shooting. Shout out to Gypsy Love. And, you know, we just, you know, we did our own thing. There's a few surprises that I'm going to reveal after the movie drops that are some odd coincidences that some people might find very interesting. I don't want to reveal it now because I don't want people going into watching this musical with that thought in mind. I want them to watch the musical first. And then once the musical kind of, you know, resonates with them, then I can start throwing these little surprises out, you know, different scenes and how we came about doing things.
Yeah. Out of all the 8 videos you've shot.
I'm sorry, you said out of all 8 videos?
Yeah, out of all the 8 videos you shot, which one do you think is your top 3 favorites so far?
Oh, God. Damn. First and foremost, Mr. Roberts. Shout out to Mr. Roberts. It's a theme, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. So what we did is instead of Mr. Rogers, we recreated Mr. Roberts. And the concept behind that song is getting to an age in my life where I've grown past all of the adolescent mind states that I would be in, and how I've grown into the person that I am now, and how I could show you guys this blueprint too. It's a very interesting video. I don't want to give away too much because that's the next video we're releasing, but I'm sure you guys will like that video as well. My daughter had a star role in it, and shout out to my homie Ron John. His son also had a star role in it. Shout out to my sister, even my mom and my stepdad, you know what I'm saying, showed up for the shoot. So they're playing a scene in this video. So that would be my top. This was my first time my mother seeing me, not just as an artist, but in character. She didn't realize how great of an actor I am. And I'm not just tooting my horn. I'm just saying what mama told me. But that would be my top out of them. My second, oh, that's so tough because each video has a different direction. I think Cell Phone Pregnancy will be a good one. Cell Phone Pregnancy is a really interesting comment. A lot of people hear the title and they laugh, but once they get to hearing the song, then they start to realize, okay, this makes sense. I see where he's going with this. The third, that's a good question. Because the other three, I mean, they're all really dope. Those two just really resonate with me because of the concept behind it. I would say Living My Life. Yeah. Living My Life is super dope.
I saw the behind the scenes for some of these videos. I saw the clip for This Is Love. I think your beats are definitely unique, man. It's a different sound from the Keys to the Kazi, that's for sure.
Yes, sir.
Keys to the City. It's a whole different sound.
No, Keys to Kazi, you're right. Keys to Kazi.
I'm sorry, Keys to Kazi. So let me ask you this. Who's directing all the videos?
I'm directing it.
You're directing the videos.
Emo is the Yoda of, or the Professor Xavier of it. So shout out to Emo. Emo has been kind of coaching and teaching me. I've been going into the video editing and stuff like that for fun. And, you know, I'm basically freestyling it. But as I've been working with this man, he's been asking me questions, quizzing me, you know, so what are we going to do for this next scene? And if there's anything that he wants to input, you know, I definitely take the advice because of his experience, 30 plus years deep, and the guy is phenomenal. But he lets me run the show. And if something doesn't make sense, then instead of telling me, no, that don't make sense, change this, he'll ask me, okay, tell me how we're going to do that. Based on this lighting here, how are we going to do this? Oh, and then, or X amount of people may not be showing up, so what are we going to do now? And off the fly. I'm like, okay, we're going to do ABCXYZ. And it basically comes to light. So honestly, I would say I'm directing with the direction of Emo.
Nice. You got a co-director, dope. And you also got a co-producer, basically.
Yeah.
Helping you cut it out.
Yep.
And so you're the one doing the majority of the editing. You're editing it.
From the visual standpoint in the video, he's doing the editing. But as far as the treatment, the direction that the video is going in, the concept behind the video, I'm doing all that.
Dope. So you're doing some writing too, some screenplay writing.
Yes.
Cool, man. That's really awesome. So let me ask you this. Which one out of all the creative things you're doing right now, you're writing songs, you're recording, you're editing, directing, which one are you finding enjoyable the most?
Learning how to edit. I think when anytime you find something brand new, and I told my daughter this, I said, you know, it's okay to have something that's a passion as your job, but you have to remember it takes away from the passionate part, because with that comes deadline, expectations, other people's requirements or requests. Even if you don't see it in that light, you have to roll with it. So I think the beautiful part about the editing now is that I'm not on anybody's schedule per se. I'm not on anybody's clock per se. I'm not relying on anybody else's finances. This is all being fully funded by me. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. No investors or anything like that. Taking a 9-to-5 money that I'm making and earn in using that to apply to this vision that I have. I think that's the most joyous part about it, is being able to sit back and know that when I'm done with this, 400 years from now, those that live beyond me, my bloodline, will be able to go on whatever type of search engine that's created at that time and see their great, 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 great grandpa killing it. Not just from a rhyming perspective, but from a directing perspective, an acting perspective, a direct editing perspective, motivational speaking perspective, encouraging perspective. You know, that's, I think, the most fun part about this. Fame and money and fortune, that's the byproduct of the bonus.
Yes. And, you know, I'm going to tell you something personally. You know, the way life works, it's really cool. Like, I was sitting in the crib one day, ladies and gents. And you know how life is. We go through some things in life, and sometimes we get depressed. So I know this particular Sunday, I was feeling depressed, you know. That's how I get sometimes. And out of nowhere, Keys was hitting me up through the IG video. Usually when I go through depression, I like to shut people away, or just I like to kind of just push people away. But something inside me said, no, I think you should pick this one up, you know? I think you should pick this one up. So I picked it up, and your energy on the phone that day, bro, I think I needed to hear that, because it just felt refreshing to hear somebody sound excited about what they're working on. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And it got me feeling, it gave me life when I was feeling lifeless, bro. Like, I was going through it that day. And thank you, man, because it just woke me up. It just reminded me, like, hey, man, stay creative, because the homies are staying creative and everybody is making the most of what they can in life, and people are finding joy through their creation. It inspired me to, like, to look at my blessings, man. Thank you, bro, for real.
And not only that, what was the first thing I said to you before we even started talking about what I was doing?
You said, yo, Marlon, I see you, man. I see you, Marlon.
I see you. And what did I say about the fingerprints? You remember that?
The fingerprints, which one? Which
one? So we were having a conversation in regards to the art form, performing it, and expectations. And I said, look at the tips of your fingers. I said, those things on your hand, those fingerprints are one of one. There's nobody before or after you that's going to have those fingerprints.
Yes.
So when you represent this culture or this craft, you are contributing your fingerprints. It's not necessarily meeting the expectations of the next person, because they got their own set of fingerprints. It's bringing your unique set of fingerprints to this big picture we call hip hop.
Yes. Thank you.
Now, I elaborated a little bit there, but that was basically the gist of what my purpose for calling you was.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he gave me props. Keith called me to give me love and give me props, you know, and the way God's timing works, I probably needed to hear that right at that moment, you know, that lifted me up, bro. Thank you. I want to say that publicly.
Oh, that's nothing, brother.
Mental health is everything, and sometimes homies got to check up on each other, and that call meant a lot. It was like, hey, I needed to hear that, you know. Let me ask you this. Your freestyle improv is still consistent. Let me ask you this, dog. How do you keep that shit super sharp? You just do it every day, huh, Keys?
Like, No. So here's the crazy thing about it. Once I learned how to ride the bike again, so when I started doing freestyles in 2017, 2018, I was a little off kilter. Like my freestyles were subpar, but it was like, you know, dusting off, you know, the bike and getting back on it, right? Because my life consists of my career, my family, and then everything else is fun. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So I had forgotten about freestyling, improvisation, A, how rare it is, and B, how good I'm at it. It's a second language to me. It's like having a conversation with you. I'm talking, but I could still be an MC. It's the true definition of being free. Looking at my fingerprints and representing me. And the man above, meaning he or she, allows me to be this vessel that continues to be a lyricist known as an MC. You see how I'm giving you this style for free and rhyming at the each word? Action speaks louder than verbs. So when I do this, it's almost like you're at a smorgasbord and you got served. And it's not having the nerve to say served in the sense of eating MCs, but showing MCs how to eat lyrically, how I do it, whether I have one or not, meaning the beat. So when I talk freestyle, I get better with time because it's a second conversation, not just something I do in the terms of someone who rhymes. That's how I shine, because my fingerprints are mine. And this little light of eye has no glass ceiling because the limit is the sky. And I will do this until the day I die.
That's fucking amazing, dog. See, this is the shit that I'm talking about. Like, it's just a real MC from the soil. Like, look, man, let me ask you this, Keys. Like, hip-hop is turning 50 in about a couple weeks. Where do you think lyricism is about to go the next 50 years? Like, we saw where it could go the first 50 years. Everything from when West Coast had the run, then New York had the run, then ATL got it, New Orleans got it for a little bit, you know? Like, where do you see the next 50 years of this, like, lyricism?
Dependent now. Great question. Because are we talking lyricism or are we talking music?
Both.
Let's talk about it from a music perspective. I think the music perspective goes into whatever the next trend that corporate America sees they can make money off of. Like, I'm telling you, Africa is going to be the next place that blows everyone out of the water. The Caribbeans and Africa. That's where I see music going. Wow, from a lyricist standpoint, that is the only genre of hip hop that has not changed.
Interesting. Yeah.
So rap was around before lyricism. Lyricism, rap was, let me rap to you, homie. And you all rapping to each other. Lyricism and MCing, well, not MCing, because that's just a master of ceremonies. But lyricism was the evolution of rap. So when rap evolved, it turned into lyricism. Once lyricism established itself, that's the only part of the genre of this rap entertainment that hasn't changed. With the times. Either you're a lyricist or you're not. Rap has changed with the trend and whoever controls the magic wand of what they can convince people is dope. And they do that with associating the music with your emotional state.
The mainstream will always change. Like what's pumped in the mainstream will always change. Lyricism, though, you're right. It's either you're one or you're not.
You're not. And it's been that way since when you talk Rakim, You talk, let's say, rest in peace, Big L.
Yeah.
You talk, I'm talking like Run DMC, Kumo D, Furious Five, all of them, they have bars. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that. But when you start introducing the KRS-Ones, the Rakims, the Coogee Raps, the Big L, when you start producing those type of artists, where they're entendres, their sentences, their statements, it's like diving into a layer of something. And once you get past that layer, it's a whole nother layer of something else you've discovered. Then it's another layer of something else you discovered. Versus rap music, it's just a feel-good vibe response.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's looking at it from a, that's why hip hop should have a subgenre called lyricism.
Yeah.
Because everybody that raps is not a lyricist.
Exactly. And like, and we're just talking content, all right? So look, we're just talking content of what you're rapping about. We're not even talking about flow on how you're rapping it. Like, a great MC that always changed the game is somebody that has a very distinct flow and someone that has a very, like, the content is just perfect timing for what's going on in the world and it's what's needed or something.
Or even as simple as this. Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Why isn't this artist on the list of one of the greatest lyricists ever? Now, Black Thought deserves to be there, right?
Oh, yeah, man.
But you know who else deserves to be there?
Who?
Pharoah Monch.
Oh, yeah.
No, but why you don't hear his name like that?
You know what? You're right.
You see what I'm saying? And it doesn't matter what he raps about. It's the entendres and the technique. So lyricism, you could talk about like Eminem. Eminem is a lyricist. Their songs, he's not really talking about nothing. It's just like abstract rap. But the way he's constructing his techniques is what defines that lyricist button. You see what I'm saying? It's the techniques, the entendres, the phrases, making the mind think beyond just the words that are being said. How creative is, you know, no diss to the song, but My Booty Hole Brown. That's plain and simple. I don't have to dive into that to figure, you know what I'm saying? But when I go and I listen to a song like that Pharoah Monch did, baby, won't you see the light? Baby, won't you understand what you mean to me, darling? Man, come on, dude. He's telling a love song, but the way he's rapping the lyrics, his entendres and techniques and stutter rapping, you know what I'm saying? It's just like, okay, he could have simply said, I found a girl, fell in love. She sound another one good at that, Royce the 5'9".
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
These are, you know, Mickey Facts. That's another one. These are people that can, they make you think beyond the words that they're stating. So they will always get lost in the shuffle as long as entertainment is passing out the trophies. But if you create a subgroup for that, everybody gets rewarded according to what level they're on.
Yeah. And that's why when they put out these top 50 of all time, top 50 greatest of all time, I think the pure skill of emceeing, which includes delivery, pronunciation, bars, content, flow. I think all that stuff is not really looked at as much as influence and success. So what I mean is sometimes you see the most successful rappers on this list.
Yep.
The richest and the most successful, the most visible. But what happens to Redman? What happens to Freestyle Fellowship?
Yeah.
Far Side, because why are they not there? Oh, I get it. It's because they didn't think they were that successful and influential enough to get there, which is BS, because I think Redman influenced Eminem.
Yeah. He admitted that.
You know? Somebody like Busta Rhymes. The technical skill is perfect, but I think Busta Rhymes' success, I guess what I'm saying is people like Busta, Eminem, Jay-Z, Nas, just the right combination of success, influence, and skills for real. You feel me, though?
Yeah.
Like they're rich and famous, but they got skills for real. Don't get it fucked up, you know?
Yeah. It's a balance. There's a balance there.
You know what I mean?
There's a balance in it. But on the flip side of that, to me, there's no such thing as the greatest rapper.
Yeah.
that's like asking who's the greatest speaker of English.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? No, it's based on the interpretation of the person that's receiving what's being given or said.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not going to go and listen to Positive K, I Got a Man at a Funeral.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go to church bumping It Takes Two. You see what I'm saying? It's, and I'm not dissing. What I'm saying is there's a time and a place and a mood for, you know what I'm saying? That's a, there's a time and place and a mood for what I want to receive. So from a bar's perspective, you may say, I like that man's technique better than this person over here. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, it's not that one is better than the other. Now, there are some that are just straight trash. Let's not get that twisted. Like, there's people that really don't have a skill set for this.
Yeah.
But they do it anyway. But I'm saying it's no such thing as the greatest.
And check it out. It's also regional. It's very regional and territorial. So what I'm saying is, for somebody who grew up on the West, you can't tell him Rakim's the greatest, because it's in his eyes, it's Ice Cube, you know?
Right.
Like, for somebody who grew up in the East, if they're going to say that Nas is the greatest, someone from the South may say, nah, it's Scarface, you know? Like,
yeah.
So it's also regional. It's weird.
Yeah, like, it's based on interpretation. No matter where you are or what mood you're in, it's based on your interpretation of what you consider good. Yes. So my thing is, what I loved about back in the days is you had a balance. When I had my CD book or CDs, you pull out that big volume, it's the size of a 5-subject tablet, you know what I'm saying? But bigger, I had 2 Live Crew, I had Scarface, DMX, Corrupt, Dog Pound, Dre, Nas, Snoop, Kool G Rap, Fat Boys, Run DMC, Poor Righteous Teachers, Twista, you know, you name it, E-40, Tech N9ne, the old school Loonies, Drew Down, you know, it was a long list of different Lords of the Underground, Busta Rhymes, you know what I'm saying, Boot Camp Click, like, and I'm from the West. This is what my CD playlist looked like as, you know, coming up as a youngster. Nowadays, some of those same artists are trying to sound like what these artists today rapping.
Yeah. And there was a very great interview of a clip of Tony Yayo and a DJ EFN.
FX, I saw that.
And it was I and you know what? I had to think about this myself too. Like, who is the best? Who is greater? Ice Cube or Biggie? So that's a perfect example of like, well, it depends on what era you grew up in, you know. Like,
and also too, what are we looking at? So this is what Ice Cube's response was, and this was a great point.
Yeah.
Ice Cube said, my catalog of storytelling is longer than, I don't think there's anybody else that has told as many stories other than maybe Scarface and Slick Rick.
Exactly. That's it. That's
you
it.
See what I'm saying?
Just Biggie, Slick Rick or Scarface, you know?
Biggie told stories, but the greatest story he told that people talked about was the 10 Crack Commandments and I Got a Story to Tell. He only put out technically 2 albums, you know, that we can consider, because, you know, the Life After Death, well, not Life After Death, there was another one, Notorious, that was after he passed. But I can't say that's not a fair comparison. You see what I'm saying? That's like me comparing the Golden State Warriors legacy to the Lakers or the Celtics.
Exactly.
The Golden State is a great team, but they don't have as many championships as the. So if we're talking of all time, then nah. So I think, to your point, regional plays a big factor in that, because somebody deep in the West ain't going. Because FX was like, I was born in LA and I was raised in Florida, and I say it's Cube. Tony Yale from the East Coast, he's saying it's Biggie all day. They both were great rappers during that time, but the eras they came out in were totally different.
And with all due respect, when you hear some Biggie interviews, he will give props to America's Most Wanted. And he'll say, like, America's Most Wanted is one of the most influential in his life. And the Alcoholics was on Drink Champs, and they basically said Biggie told them that Biggie got his flow from King T.
Yeah.
So it's also like saying like, hey man, the West Coast also be influencing the East, you know?
Yeah.
They can't front, yo. Like, nah.
And see, you know what's crazy? America's Most Wanted, if my memory serves me correctly, I was on a song with them when I was 16. It was this guy named Nutso. Shout out to Nutso. It was a group called Street Thugs. Nutso was supposed to be supposedly the first artist assigned to the Outlaws before Pac died, because Pac was going to start his own label. They're all from Oakland. There was Deuce Deuce, America's Most Wanted, Bad Influence, which was Rappin' Ron and Aunt Diddley, which Rappin' Ron was a big influence on me wanting to freestyle. Rest in peace. Deuce Deuce, who used to write for MC Hammer, NTO, America's Most Wanted as well. All of us were on like this track called The Family.
Nice.
And that's what I mean, going, tying it back to West Side. This is me paying homage to let them know, yes, I'm a lyricist, but I haven't forgotten where I came from. This album is dedicated to y'all.
Yeah,
this album is going to be hard, fam. Like, from a West Coast perspective, well, first of all, nobody's ever done what I'm about to do.
Yeah.
Not like this. I think Sticky Fingers came close. He did a full album similar to this that was all visual. But from the storyline, it's like Idlewild, except a movie producer coming up with the idea. The artist comes up with the idea and says, hey, this is the album.
Dope, man. I love it. I love it. What is the release date for the album?
So tentatively, June 10th of next year. Okay, the reason cool. that we want to release the movie and the album at the same time, so the album is the soundtrack to the movie.
Cool.
But, you know, depending on how soon we can get things edited and put together, because the movie is going to be about an hour and a half long. It's 18 tracks. Every song is going to have a video to it with acting and transitional scenes.
I love it, man.
So it's going to be a dope experience. And it's hip hop. It's West Coast hip hop.
Cool, man. I love it. Speaking of West Coast hip hop, who you think is one of the most, who are the MCs that you got your ear on in West Coast hip hop? Who's buzzing right now, you think? Who got the buzz right now in the West?
Now,
besides C-Dot Keys, of course. You know.
Oh, no. I wouldn't even put me in that category yet, because I'm not on the left. Like, first person that comes to mind, man, shout out to this dude. I've been knowing him for a long time. We used to do car shows together back in the days, man. Stanley. What's up, Stanley? A.K.A. Mr. Fab. See?
Oh, dope.
What people don't know about Mr. Fab is Mr. Fab freestyles like I freestyle. Like, I'm talking about, like, off the brain. Look him up. You know what I'm saying? Like, people get his entertainment side twisted with his true passion for lyricism. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Very humble, down-to-earth dude, entrepreneur, owns his own businesses. You know, backpack giveaways and things like that for schools and education. Starting his own school or class, teaching people business aspects of the game. I mean, just he's doing things from an influential standpoint of, you know, what the message should be. Yeah, make my music stuff, but what about the community? As far as youngsters on the rise, I've been saying this for a minute. It's this crew called Villain Park.
Okay.
Right? They're from Southern Cali. They got a song called We Out Here. That's how I found them, just working out, going through my YouTube, and I started watching some of their stuff. These youngsters are talented, man. They're very gifted. I can listen to their stuff and not feel like you know, this is, you know, I'm too old for this shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's what I respect and appreciate about their sound. So Villain Park, Mr. Fab, I'm trying to think of somebody else that I've been listening to lately that's really been on it. Cause there's been a lot of Bay Area artists that have come out. My younger brother has been introducing me to. I want to say his name is Pilo. I can't remember his name, but the dude is from the Bay Area. Dope cat. But the Villain Park and Mr. Fab, I'd say, are two West Coast artists or groups or artists that I think is really doing their thing.
Dope. What do you think of Costa Nostra?
I haven't heard his music yet.
Cosa Nostra. Oh, it's a group. It's a group.
Oh, shit. My bad. Okay. I know exactly what you're talking about. Matter of fact, if I remember correctly, and I could be wrong, correct me if I am, one of them or two of them.
Yo, you're getting cut, Keys. Hello?
Can you hear me now?
Now I can.
Okay.
Two of them is the Razzcast Boys, right?
That's what I heard.
Yeah.
I think they're super dope. As a matter of fact, they remind me of a newer version of Leaders of the New School. And I don't know if it's because I heard them to the Scenario track, but they have this. One thing I love about them is A, they can rap, but B, their cadence is off the wall. It's not your typical rap cadence that, you know, everybody's trying to bite because it's popular. They're kind of, think about it. How many groups have come out trying to be like them?
Yeah, man.
LaRussell is another one. LaRussell is from Richmond.
Oh, yeah. Dope.
Dude's dope. He do freestyles and stuff. He do performances in his backyard.
So let me ask you this, man. I know that there's a lot of tours going on right now. What do you feel about LL Cool J, man? Still throwing tours, still throwing festivals. LL Cool J, bro. Like, like longevity's real, man. Like,
it is, especially when you position yourself from a future standpoint. Everybody wants this right now. They're not looking at the long haul. LL looked at the long haul.
LL is alive and well, and it makes me feel good. Like, I feel like, you know what? They are proving that you only get fresher and you only get better as you get older.
Yeah, well,
if you learn
wisdom, you learn
wisdom.
You learn wisdom. Mm-hmm. I think that's the key. So like, there's artists that are LL's age that did not apply that wisdom as they grew along that aren't in the same position as LL, but are just as skilled and talented, right?
Yep.
So I think it's about setting yourself aside instead of setting yourself up. So instead of being a typical artist doing a typical thing, set yourself aside instead of setting yourself up being like the typical artist and you're gone tomorrow.
Yeah.
Not only that, L's passion for the music didn't change. There's artists that start off and they hella dope, and as they get older, their music changes, and you're like, not, and I don't mean change as far as their delivery and message, but it changes as far as how the hunger is gone.
I got a chance to see Wu-Tang several times in my life, right? And also, I got a chance to see Nas several times in my life. But this last tour that Nas and Wu-Tang had, when they brought the show to San Diego, I was watching it. I love how Wu-Tang's stage show it has improved. Like, their stage show and the cohesiveness of mixing everybody's hits, all 9 members and all of their hits individually, the way they made it blend in with the Wu-Tang as a group, it was flawless, man. Like, their stage show is perfected, bro.
And
like,
you think about this. For years they've been doing this. With that time came wisdom.
Oh yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
They
so as that
show, dude.
Yes. So over time, new things opened up. You know what I'm saying? Like, I remember one time on the tour bus, the little video they had posted, Meth was getting on some of them for not going to the interviews and shit like that. And Ray and Ghost kind of joking with him, and he like, I'm one doing all the interviews and shit like that. They don't have that kind of conversation no more. That's experience. That's wisdom. You see what I'm saying? When I seen Red and Meth perform at the Verses together, you would have thought they were a group in the beginning.
And
honestly, I felt like Red Man should have been inducted in the Wu. That's just my opinion.
He's definitely honorary Wu-Tang.
That's what I'm saying. But that's wisdom and experience. And that's what Westside also represents too. I always came up, you know, you just tear a mic up.
And you check it out. One of the most underrated MCs, and I don't know why this happens. I think him and Busta Rhymes kind of fall in that same category of, like, I got a chance to see Janet Jackson for her latest tour.
Mm-hmm.
The opening act was Ludacris.
I was just thinking him before you said it. Yes, go ahead.
And check it out. When I saw Ludacris open for Janet, I mean, I was always a big fan of Ludacris. And to be honest, I was a bigger fan of Luda than T.I. at some points. Now, when Ludacris was performing his hits on that Janet tour, it reminded me, hey man, he don't play. He got mad hits like 50 Cent, Jay-Z, like,
dude, he did Luda a song with hits. Luda is one of the most slept on MC. Luda had a track with Nas and Jay-Z. I think it was called Hip Hop Saved My Life or something
exactly.
like that.
Exactly.
Right? And I'm listening to this track. This track came out like, I want to say early 2000s. And
on the Scarface album? Oh no, Luda. It was a Luda album.
Luda killed it. Like, yeah, and like I said, it's no such thing as the greatest rapper to me. It's just perspective. So, but somebody can get lost on a track, meaning, you know, you got Nas and Jay-Z on a track together.
With Luda.
And then Luda's on there. You would have think it was almost like the Fatty Girl situation. Fatty Girl was Luda, LL, and freaking Keith Murray. Yeah. And Luda's verse was just as potent. Like, Luda has never, and then he do these random freestyles on his page on Instagram.
Keith Murray don't get the props too.
Yeah, that's another one. He the reason why I switched to hip hop. When that studio I was telling you about, I recorded that song at, that studio got shot up shortly after we recorded that. And again, I'm 16. I'm like, I ain't in the rap game for this. So I quit rapping. And then I saw the most beautifulest thing in this world video, and he was dancing on top of the Lexus that I wanted, the SC400 coupe. And I said, is hip hop about this car and shit compared to my lyrics? That's what I got from that. Because he's literally on the car. And at the time, this car is like a $50,000 car back in the 90s. Plus, 50+. This motherfucker dancing on it, laying on it, riding on it, sitting on the hood. I'm like, oh, hip-hop is great. Then I heard, Do You Want More by The Roots. And that, my homeboy, I was like, he started schooling me on what the four elements of hip-hop was. Because remember, I was gangster rap before that. But Keith Murray was one of the heavy influences on me switching to hip hop.
Yeah, man. And you know, it's interesting, like when Nas did Major Look Remix, Nas got Jadakiss and got Luda. So that was kind of like a stamp from New York. Like, hey, they respect him, man.
Yep.
Let me ask you this, dog. The Bay Area. What is it about the Bay Area that just breeds like some crazy MCs too?
Lifestyle and culture.
Yeah, man.
Lifestyle and culture does that. Because see, one thing about Oakland, especially old Oakland, when I grew up in Oakland, people respect, if you were different, they respected your hustle or grind. They weren't really interested in biting as much as they were creating their own. So I may come to you and you may see a hustle I'm doing. It'll inspire you to create your own hustle. And our flavor is different because the Bay Area, you think San Francisco, Oakland, Berkeley, Emeryville, just those areas alone, in each of those areas, the lifestyle is different. But we embrace each other's culture. And I think that's what makes the Bay. If you notice, they don't just say San Francisco. They don't just say Oakland. They say Bay Area. Bay Area includes hella cities.
Yeah.
So Bay Area is seen as one big city per se, but it's not. And what makes it so dope is you cross the bridge from Oakland to Frisco, you're going to have a whole different culture. You know, you go to Pacifica, you go to Sausalito, you go to, well, people don't consider Vallejo the Bay. I do, because right off the Carcanas Bridge is Vallejo, right? Yeah. And that's the Bay. So you get experiences totally different in that one small community. And that's why when people come here, they get a change of perspective.
So speaking of Oakland, I gotta bring this up. It's current hip-hop news, you know. So speaking of Oakland, they're finally starting to make some search warrants and some arrests for Tupac's murder.
I just saw that.
It's all over the news. Now, this is, so as a hip hop fan, I gotta say this. Sometimes hip hop can also make me sick. You know what I'm saying? Like, it can be sickening with the violence that goes on, right? Now, with people like DJ Vlad. DJ Vlad keeps giving this guy interviews, and this guy is on DJ Vlad's interviews pretty much explaining how they killed Tupac in detail. It's on YouTube. Like, you search it on YouTube, you can see it, dog. And I always thought to myself, how can you live with yourself, man? Like, kind of like, it's like this, like, DJ Vlad is definitely exploiting Tupac's death. And those streams on his YouTube page, it's giving him some good money, man. And it's such a shame. Like, they talk about Tupac's death as if the sister is still not alive. Like, there's family members still grieving over this shit, and people are talking about it just to get YouTube hits. And I thought to myself, you know what? Karma's a bitch. Something's gonna happen when you're talking about Tupac's murder too much. And sure enough, bro, he got searched. Thanks to who? DJ Vlad. It's crazy, man. Like, see, hip-hop warned us, too, about doing his interviews, didn't they?
But the one thing that we tend to forget...
Stop doing his interviews. You can get incriminated. And that's exactly what happened.
But see, I think... where the biggest mistake is we separate the culture of hip hop from the reality of life. So think about this, take that same equation and take hip hop out of the equation and just talk about an average Joe situation. It would be the same scenario. You see what I'm saying? Like, I think where the first awareness is this, we have to understand that Vlad is no different than Fox, CNN, CBS, Entertainment Tonight, TMZ got Kobe Bryant's photos of the helicopter crash and posted that shit before his family knew what the fuck happened.
Everybody's chasing clout, man. Everybody's chasing clout.
Technology has and this is a perfect thing to look at too. Technology is a beautiful thing. If it wasn't for technology, we wouldn't be having this conversation right now in this podcast.
Yes, sir.
Right? But on the flip, technology is horrible because now it's giving people the opportunity to try to make their opinions about other people's business fact when they try to keep everything they do in the dark.
Yes, sir.
So with Tupac's murder, as well as any other human that has been in a situation like this, A, is sad that a warrant is being issued in 2023 for a murder that took place in 1996?
Yeah, man.
So to me, that's the first and foremost question mark and eyebrow raiser.
Yeah, right.
Why would it take somebody like Vlad to institute this when y'all probably have more information than Vlad since 96?
Yeah, they've been, and
you understand? And Vlad probably could have, I don't know, gotten it from somebody that knew from back then. Because Vlad didn't just think this shit up. So I think it's the perception of how we view things. This world is cold, sick, and horrible.
Yeah, man.
But I love every minute of it. And what I mean by that is, it's how I'm perceiving it.
Yeah. And it's crazy, like, you know, the mom, you know, there was that new documentary. Because, you know, hip-hop's turning 50. And Tupac was such a polarizing figure. The latest FX documentary called Afeni. You know, like, people are still grieving this, man. It's still fresh. It's super fresh. As if it wasn't 30 years ago. It's super fresh, dude. Like,
well, but also the quick key question, and this ties into mental health as well. What can we do to be able to overcome? And again, this is not just Tupac. This is in everything in life. What can we do to overcome to where a wound isn't still fresh 30-something years later or 20-something years later? You see what I'm saying? Because that's where the healing process starts.
Yeah.
And if we keep the wound fresh and it doesn't heal or scab up, yes, be outraged, be frustrated. I totally get it. But if I'm drawing from an emotion from 20-something years ago, that means I haven't come to terms with it in 20-something years.
And check so it out. Go ahead.
From a mental health perspective, and I'm not just talking about Tupac's situation, I'm talking with anything in life. What can I do to better strengthen, equip, and prepare myself for closure?
And, you know, this hip hop culture is beautiful. You know, the way it started from New York, it spread it to the country. You know, it gave Filipino kids like me a sense of belonging, you know, like it gave us purpose, gave us a lot of purpose in life. And with that being said, I forgot my train of thought, but with Tupac, it's like,
he's an icon.
He's an important part of history. Yeah.
Yeah. He's an icon. And to have an icon be reopened or revisited, and we still listen to his music to this day, time stands still when it comes to Tupac.
Yeah, man.
There's many people like that too. Time stands still because they're martyrs. That's the definition of a martyr. Time stands still for the thoughts of them.
I got my thoughts. Go ahead.
I'm more outraged at how long it took than I am them exploiting, because I understand in this culture that we live in now, it's in human nature to exploit other people's shit first.
Yeah. And I got my train of thought back. I was thinking, these major corporations, man, you guys have milked the hip hop culture billions and billions of dollars throughout these last 50 years. They made the most money they can out of it. It became part of political slogans. It drove political campaigns. It was used as a tool to communicate to the youth, and a lot of people got rich. And the ugly part about this is, even when somebody dies, when you make movies about them, somebody's getting rich. And it doesn't all go to the families, but someone's getting rich off the deaths for sure, dog.
You're absolutely right. I'm sorry to interrupt. I just want to add to that. When we take that hip hop, take this example and globalize it to everything in life, when hasn't corporate America exploited something?
And
And
out of every rapper that has died these last 20 years, Tupac has been exploited the most. I think he's been exploited the most. Oh man, they benefited from Tupac for sure.
Yeah.
And all that money, you know for a fact, it did not go to the sister, because she's the only member alive. You know what I'm saying? It's the sister. Like, the mom's gone, so who controls the estate? It has to go down with the sister. So it's like, I guess what I'm saying is, hip hop gave us so much to live for, you know, and we got raped by corporate America, but MCs like you that keeps the lyricism alive. It's like, hey man, we never forgot where it really came from, you know,
hip hop. And I think that's the key for survival the next 50 years. To your dance, you know, a part of an answer to the question you asked earlier. The key is, hip hop became great and noticeable because we just wanted to express ourselves, not because we were looking for a $1 million check. Now we look for the $1 million check, and even if it compromises what we truly represent, we're going to go get that money. Not I, says Keys. I don't want a label ever if I can help it, because a label is no different than tagging you as a manufactured product on a goddamn shelf at a grocery store. Literally, they're calling you, you're signed to a label. You might as well slap a UPC code on you. This project is coming out under C Keys, if I can help it. And the reason why I say if I can help it is because this album is going to change the way artists do their projects moving forward. Watch.
I love it, man. I love it. Yo, I support the concept. Yo, Keys, man. I know 2023 is somehow almost done, sort of. What are you trying to accomplish before this year ends?
My goal is to hopefully wrap up all the main shots for the movie. But above and beyond that, I'm looking forward to November 20th. That'll be 22 years married to my queen. And I think that's probably the greatest freestyle that I ever spit.
Ah, I love it, man. Congratulations. Yeah. What do you think is the top three key to keep that relationship going? Top three suggestions or tips that you can pass on to others?
Understanding in the form of compromise.
Right.
loving yourself more than anything else.
Yeah.
And enjoying the ride of life.
Nice. I love it. Fatherhood. What has fatherhood been teaching you lately about yourself?
In my 22 years of being a father? Jeez. Don't forget about you.
Yeah, yeah.
We invest so much time and energy into DNA that's already coded for what they are going to want to be in life and do in life. And we could stress ourselves out trying to control a mind that's born to be free. The best thing you can do is plant seeds so that hopefully when they're in even an accomplished or a disadvantaged state, they remember the things in which you planted.
So I know your catalog is deep and heavy, bro. So besides this album, West Side, coming up, so besides that, what would be your top three definitive albums that people got to hear that explains who you really are? What would be your top three albums?
Nicest MC.
Yeah.
For what is Nicest MC, produced by Centric, my bad. For What It's Worth, produced by Merc One. And Sonic Sculpture by Van Ark, produced by Van Ark.
You're not going to put Keys to the Kazi there?
That's Keith. See, here's the thing. Keys to Kazi is on a whole nother level. Let me explain that. The reason why I didn't even put Keys to Kazi on there, Keys to Kazi, how can I explain this? Literally, it's a story of my life. That whole album is improvisational freestyled into my phone's voice command and then recorded. So For What It's Worth was also as well, but For What It's Worth was designed to be a project or album. That Kazi, Keys to Kazi, is a journal.
Yeah, man. I think that's one of your best work right there.
That's a journal. So what I will rearrange that. And again, I put that to the side because to me, and Kazi knows this. I told him, I said, dude, like, this is my life that I'm rapping on this album. And we recorded the whole album in a day.
Yeah. Crazy shit.
Keys to Kazi. Keys to Kazi. We'll do the order like this. Keys to Kazi. Nicest MC. And For What It's Worth. Other than West Side.
No doubt, no doubt. Yo, man. It's good chopping it up with you, Keys.
Nah, likewise, brother. I appreciate you. Like I said in the beginning, man, look, you're creating an environment with technology, proving that it's a beautiful thing. And with all the bad things going on with technology, instead of me stressing over the what ifs of that, I could focus my attention on the thank yous of this. And that's what makes this beautiful. That's what makes life beautiful. Shit is bad, but you can actually look at things that are good about it and be attentive to what's bad around you. Be aware of your surroundings, but smell the roses. Because you only get one life.
I was telling Keys off air, like, I was telling him that one day I was like, hey, man, I'm performing and rehearsing my brand new 15-minute set. I'm taking out old songs and inserting new songs, learning all the new songs. And I was telling Keys, like, it's very anxiety-driven, you know, because I want to make it so perfect. And he was like, man, I was like, I'm just trying to work on my craft. And Keys is like, nah, you are the craft, you know, like you are the craft. So, like, you know, you're good, you know. So, yeah.
There's only one fingerprint like yours, brother. There's only one fingerprint like yours before or after you. There was never be those set of prints on any other human ever on the face of this earth. So what are you going to do with your unique ability?
I care about the craft so much, man. I care about the craft so much, dog. Like, yeah, word. So it's good to, like, always build with another MC that gets it, that cares about creativity, that cares about being unique. Something that, and I know an artist, when they put their heart into their work, I know it when I see one. I know it when someone puts their heart into it. For real. Like, so good shit, man. Like, keep doing what you do.
Likewise, brother.
I'm going to hit you back on the text right now. Is there any shout outs or any announcements you want people to know before we get off?
Shout out to Don Brady. Shout out to Anne Marie.
What up?
Shout out to Mikhail. Shout out to Kaizo on the B, Emo, Kazi. And shout out to you, man. Shout out to everybody that's representing hip hop to the fullest extent and doing it for the passion, man. A check is a check. Passion is passion. Don't get the two mixed up.
I love it, man. Yo, I'm gonna hit you back on the text right now. Let me get off. I'm gonna hit you back right now, all right?
For sure.
Yo, thanks for doing this, AMD Podcast. We did it. One love, peace.
Peace, no doubt.